Today on the Sex and Tell Show, Sonia and I will be talking to our friend Kate Rosen in a roundtable discussion, where we'll talk about various topics, including sex education, talking to your parents about sex, sex on the internet, and also talking to your partner about hard topics. Kate, welcome to the Sex and Tell Show.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
Yes. And everyone, this is a special episode of the Sex and Tell Show where we do roundtable discussion. And hopefully we will do this again in the future. We probably will be doing this again in the future. And yeah, so we're just going to kind of talk about stuff because we're all friends. Kate's a friend of ours from music school.
Yay.
And well, Kate and I were thinking about sharing stories about when we first learned about sex, whether it's in a classroom or whether it was from our parents or whatever. Sonia doesn't like that idea.
Oh, no, please do. I'm really curious to hear these stories.
Oh, but you have to share too. That's the thing.
Well, mine's really boring because my parents opted me out of the sex ed class and did not discuss sex with me because abstinence works, guys.
Oh. I mean, it does work.
You have sex and then you...
Right. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yes, it does. It does work.
Right. No, it's... discovering about sex was like a number of years of built up understanding based on what I would glean from other people, mostly guys.
Okay.
So mine's really boring.
Mostly guys?
Oh, well, I mean, most of my friends were guys back in middle school and high school. It was mostly guys. So, and besides that, girls really only used to talk about, you know, the bases, and I didn't understand what a base was.
I still don't understand that.
Let's discuss. Let's discuss the bases.
Okay, so the first base is like kissing, right?
I believe so.
And the second base is you're touching your boob, right?
I think that there are clothes removed, but no insertions.
No. I think that like clothes are still on, but like you're groping.
I think as you get older, the bases change.
Really?
I think like middle school bases are probably like, you know, first base is like you kiss me on the lips. And you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But I think what I've heard more of now is sort of that like first base is kind of making out and second base is like manual and third base is oral and then home run is
woohoo.
Oh.
That's what I've heard more of now.
Okay, that makes sense.
That makes sense for adults.
Yeah, that was grown up bases. That was definitely not the base system when I was in middle school.
That's Little League.
I like that. Oh, dear. So, Wow. Yeah, I learned basically from what I overheard other people discussing.
Other guys, not other women. So
discussing what they had done or what they would like to do.
I feel like, I mean, I don't know. I hung out with like a pretty mixed crowd, but, and I guess like, we didn't really talk about that kind of stuff, but like, I feel like that would give you a totally different view on sex by hearing it from the guy's side more often.
Well, you have to understand, I love my friends dearly if they're listening, but they were not getting any.
Oh.
Actually, learning from them may have been safer than learning from some of their female counterparts in the middle school age. Seriously, it was really very tame. So I have no good story.
Well, my sex talk was very early on. I don't remember it because I was too young, but I always hear about it. So I was 3 or 4, and I was at my grandma's house, and it occurred to me to ask where babies came from.
That's
and my
smart.
Grandma was very proper and British. And I think I was in the bathtub when we were having this discussion. And she was like, oh, the stork brings them. And I was like, Grandma, that doesn't make sense. Where does the stork get the baby? You know, and I kept asking questions. And she was like, ah. So I go home and ask my mom. And I say, you know, the stork doesn't bring babies, right? So she, you know, when a 3 or 4 year old asks you where babies come from, it's kind of a difficult decision whether or not to tell them, because it's so young to learn about what sex is. So, you know, after much deliberation, she decided to tell me, and then I blocked it out, apparently, because when I was 6 and in
you
first grade
again.
they told us not to give the middle finger in class, and I didn't understand why, so of course I went around and gave everyone the finger that day. And then I went home and asked what that meant, and she told me, and so I asked what that word meant. And then I got the sex talk again. But my parents were always very open with me about what sex is, and if I had questions, they were always happy to answer. Like with the Bill Clinton scandal, and I saw like on the front page of the Times, we got the New York Times at this point, and I was like, Mom, what's fellatio? And she told me, and I thought that was gross.
That's good, probably, to think at that age. But wow, that is an incredible good word to learn.
What's fellatio? So that's my sex talk story.
That's excellent. Wow,
yours is way more interesting
than mine. What about you?
I basically didn't get a sex talk.
Oh, well, then you had like me. You didn't get an official.
Yeah, pretty much. Because my parents never gave me a sex talk. They were like that. It was basically always assumed that we just didn't talk about it, and I never asked because I knew it would be awkward because we never talked about it. And in sex ed, in class, we didn't even do the condom on a banana thing. We didn't even do that.
Oh no, I don't think people really do that anymore.
Wait, really?
Yeah.
Oh, well, I mean, I wouldn't know because I was in the library, but they did do it on Never Been Kissed in that movie.
I think it's more of a movie thing. Yeah,
okay.
I think it's too, like, too suggestive or something. No.
Really?
Oh. Yeah.
Well, I mean, what with
I feel like it's still useful,
safe,
but
the safe abstinence plan. I mean, you don't even need bananas.
Yeah. Yeah, our school, like, was very, very conservative. Our whole town was very conservative. So even in sex ed, we mostly covered, like, other topics. Like, we covered, like, I don't know. Just like school stuff. Mm-hmm. And we even meditated in class, but we didn't really talk about sex too much. Mm-hmm. So I don't really know where I learned. I feel like I just learned from the internet.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, the internet teaches many things.
I remember when I was first taught about the pill, actually.
Oh.
Because I was taught by this is a funny story. I was taught by my high school history teacher because no one else had given me the straight story. That, you know, someday down the line, you're going to have sex and you shouldn't have babies yet. And when that happens, there's going to be this little pill that you're going to have to take. And she went through the whole spiel for me.
Wow.
And at the time I was thinking, no, that's probably not going to. I don't know why I would need those.
I don't know why I would need
that's
those.
That's so silly.
Abstinence.
And it sounds like. Yeah, that doesn't seem worth it. I'm good, thanks. But boy, down the line, was I really glad to have the information. Knowledge is power.
Walking by myself to places we knew, talking to myself about you. What a lonesome conversation. I keep asking things and get no answer. Sitting by myself with nothing to do, talking to myself about you. And while I'm listening for your knock on the door and dreaming that you'll soon walk through, I'll keep talking to myself about you.
That's so interesting that neither of you got like a structured sex talk or like at all a sex talk from your parents.
Yeah. And it's so cool that you got that. You got that right away. And I think that's like so important.
I was really lucky.
Yeah. Like so many kids don't get that. And then so many kids just don't know. And I think that carries into adulthood also. Like, because then when we were adults, we don't want to ask because we should have known. But if no one tells us, we don't know. You know?
Okay. Well, I have a question. I have had a couple of very awkward talks that are related to sex, but never specifically about sex with my parents since then. Because
this sounds juicy.
Well, we never had an official, this is sex talk. Uh-huh. And so I imagine that from a very young age, that probably set us up to not talk about it. Even now that I'm an adult, my sister is an adult, and our family is made up of all adults who, by the way, have all encountered sex. So, but they can't discuss it. So I'm curious, do you feel comfortable with your parents since they gave you the official talk?
I've always felt pretty comfortable bringing stuff up with my parents in theory. Like, I've always felt like if I want to ask a theoretical question or a hypothetical, that's very okay.
Mm-hmm.
I think it gets more uncomfortable when it's a personal question or when it's about me actually engaging in something like that. Because I think even with the most accepting of parents, there's still that, like, you're my little girl mm-hmm. mentality. So I think that's probably hard for most parents to be really open mm-hmm. yeah. with that kind of thing.
I was listening to a podcast recently, and they were talking about how it's really important to make sex, like, not a big deal. Like, not bring it up and, like, okay, we're going to have a sex talk now. You know, like, just be, like, listening to the radio and, like, Mom, what's full audio? You know? and then have a sex talk about whatever, you know? Like, just bring it up really organically instead of, like, making it a big deal, because it's really not a big deal.
Right.
And it can be funny. It can be weird. Like, it doesn't need to be super serious.
Absolutely. Yeah. I totally agree with you. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And when I did have, I remember the talk when I was six. I remember the second talk. And I remember, besides being really grossed out, that my mom was like, it's fun. Sex is fun. And I was like, ew. Like, that was the grossest part. But but I'm really glad that she said things like that, because I think too often you just hear about what goes in where mm-hmm. and what to use so you don't get diseases, or, you know, mm-hmm. you don't hear about, like, this is okay, you know, don't yeah. go and have sex with everyone, but this is not a, it's not a sinful thing, it's not a bad thing.
Yeah, this is not a negative thing.
Yeah. It seems like learning about sex kind of ends after the sex talk, except for sort of like little bits of information that you glean from, you know, from other people talking or from like TV. And I'm kind of curious about like how other people seek out additional information.
The like, internet.
Okay.
For me, I mean, I pretty much learned everything I know from the internet, because for most of my life, it wasn't okay to talk about sex. And then when it was, then it was great, because then I could talk with fabulous friends like you, and then it's totally okay. But up to that point, I just didn't feel comfortable talking to anybody, so I had to go to the internet. And luckily, the internet is a huge resource for that. But sometimes it is hard to, like, sift through just a bunch of crap.
Mm-hmm. Are there any, like, resources that you suggest if people out there are, like, looking for more information?
Depends upon the topic, I think.
Sure, probably.
Yeah. Yeah, because a lot of stuff I looked up was when I was coming out. And honestly, one source that I went to was autostraddle.com, just because it's like a queer girl blog / community / forum kind of thing. And so it just made me integrate myself into this unknown community a little easier, even though it's like very informal. It's not, none of it's like scientific or anything. Honestly, that was probably the biggest resource for me. Because they have so much variety of articles. Mm-hmm. They have things about what's going on, like, in the world, like in politics, and then they have stuff about, like, oh, how to deal with certain things in relationship, like about like open relationships or physiological things, and they'll like have links to, for example, this one thing that's sticking out of my mind is like this Swedish site that has a whole series of PDFs regarding the anatomy of the vagina.
Well, I guess I also wanted to share that there's a really useful book called The Guide to Getting It On. It's like a 1,000-page book, and it's got information on like pretty much everything you'd want to know about sex or about like about masturbation or about same-sex sex. There's a whole chapter on like sex in the 1800s, and like there's just a lot of really rich information, and it's presented very colloquially, so it's very, it's neither intimidating nor condescending, which I really appreciate, because sometimes it's either like too technical or it's too like, girls should explore their bodies, and you know, it's just written for too young an audience.
Speaking of exploring your bodies, as it turns out, babies are getting used to their bodies and kind of exploring themselves at a really young age. Like, this is part of their cognitive development around a year and a half. And this isn't masturbating as we think of it, but they are in a way. And this is how young it starts. So it's kind of funny to me that of the three of us here, that two of us didn't actually ever get to hear it officially, hear about any of the things that we'd probably already sort of explored, even if we didn't really realize it subconsciously, we'd already started on that journey. And it's really kind of nice to hear that some parents are like, okay, well, let's deal with this. Let's talk about it. Like, this is a thing. This is not something to be afraid of or shy about. This is how it is. And this is what you'll experience in the future.
I think it's interesting because my mom, her experience was more like yours. And when she was young, she didn't really get the talk. And I hope she wouldn't mind me sharing the story. I don't think she would. But I guess when she was five, she like asked about babies and like when she would get pregnant or something like that. And her mom said that she would get pregnant whenever God decided that she would be pregnant. And so my mom was like five and walking around terrified that she would be pregnant. So I feel like sometimes it's that kind of experience that really drives someone to be the open kind of parent that she was, you know, knowing how confusing it is to not know, really kind of motivates you to. So I am confident that you two, if you choose to have children, would be really like,
let's talk about sex.
Yeah.
Because we're already doing that.
Exactly. Yep. I also find it interesting, I suppose, that like while neither of you really had like openness about sex growing up, that you're on the radio talking about it.
Yeah, you know what? Me too.
I don't know how this happened. Who roped me into this?
Yeah, that's something I've thought about. It's just like the progression that I've made throughout my life, just as like a human being, is just like so crazy that like I grew up not knowing anything about it for so long, and now I am talking about it with like potentially a couple of people who are listening to this show.
That's really neat that you guys have kind of
progressed
to be so comfortable with it. It's really great.
And it's, I mean, I think anybody can do it too. And I think it's so important that just like everybody is open to talking about it, because then other people will be more open to talking about it. Kind of like when people come out, one person comes out, another person feels comfortable coming out or feels comfortable talking to that person about it. And it's just a whole avalanche of talking and communication. What?
I remember when I was 16 and this boy who ended up, we dated, he kissed me, and then he followed this up after like, you know, 5 or so minutes of heavy making out as a 16-year-old. He stops and he says, "We're not going to have sex." And I'm like, "Yeah, I know that." Thanks for clarifying. And in my head, I was like, was this his on-ramp? Was this it? But then the makeout started again, so I kind of forgot about that. But it was just such a funny moment, and I wonder if guys have like a different idea of when the on-ramp begins. For him, it was 5 minutes into the makeout session.
By on-ramp, do you mean like the point at which you might have sex?
Yes.
I see.
This is the exit at which we're getting off of from the highway of makeout and entering into the town of sexdom. So, but he didn't... He didn't seem to need much of an exit ramp there. It was just, there it is. But I always thought that was really funny. But maybe it's just different for 16-year-old boys.
That's what I was going to suggest.
Yeah.
Is that maybe...
It's just a 16.
Is that maybe just being 16 and a boy. We talked a little bit yesterday about maybe bringing up something hard with your partner, like how to talk about something difficult with a partner.
Yeah, I feel like that's something that we are always having to do, but never really know how to do it. Like whether it's like bringing up something that we don't like or do like in sex, we're always kind of insecure about it, I feel like, or scared that they're not going to understand it. And I feel like it's always better if we just kind of go for it.
I agree. That's always my policy.
Yeah.
It's just got to do it and screw them if they don't like it. You know, you got to just say what
literally.
You feel. Exactly. That's only if they do. No, but I really agree. I think it's really important to just put it out there, because it gets, sometimes the issue can get so clouded by your feelings of insecurity about mm-hmm. it, or about your worries about what they'll, how they'll respond, and then they'll respond strangely because you're acting strange. And
right, exactly.
It just gets very complicated.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's better just be like confident, like, this is what I want.
Even with something as early on as like talking about getting tested mm-hmm. before yeah. you start having sex with someone, I think sometimes that can be super hard to bring up, and it can really feel uncomfortable and feel like not a cool thing to do. Mm-hmm. But
right.
it's another thing where it's so important to just put it out there, and if they have a problem with it, do they really deserve to have sex with you?
Right, exactly. I feel like it can be one of those things that you can even just like throw out there as not a big deal, because it shouldn't be a big deal. It should be totally, totally normal. Mm-hmm. And just be like, hey, so are you tested? Just like while you're eating breakfast or whatever. or whatever.
On the topic of bringing up things that you would like to see happen, perhaps in the bedroom, perhaps in your relationship, it's maybe a good idea. Don't hold back. Absolutely. You know, say your mind, but start with something reassuring. For example, sweetheart, I really love our sex life. It's been really wonderful. There are some things that I would someday maybe like to try. Now, I don't want to put any pressure on you as a person. I know where you are sexually is probably different from where I am, blah, 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 blah. But putting it out there as a comforting, you are who I appreciate you to be, and I don't want you to feel uncomfortable with me. But it's very difficult to put that out there. I know. So it's something, it's also difficult to hear, I think. So both sides have to be fairly understanding and open about their feelings during that. Lights on, lights off.
Doesn't matter.
Yeah, it doesn't matter.
If you trust the person enough to be naked with them, I feel like it's...
Doesn't matter if the lights are on. Good yeah. call.
I wouldn't want all of the lights on. I wouldn't want, like it being super, super bright. Like, I would want it be, like, mood lighting if there were yeah. lights. And
if we can avoid having those annoying blinking neon light type things, that'd be good.
What?
Where are you doing
yeah. yeah. yeah, seriously.
No. What am I just... These. What are these called?
Fluorescent lights.
Thank
fluorescent
you.
Fluorescent strips.
Again.
Yeah, no fluorescent lighting, please. No one looks good in fluorescent lighting.
That would just... I don't know. That would wash your face out.
Yeah, no, it's not a good call.
I mean, it's fine. Like, if you are comfortable enough to have sex with a person, theoretically, it should be fine to have
Truthfully, you're
sex.
Probably not paying that much attention to the lighting, so that's good.
Right.
I mean, hopefully they would know you well enough to have an imprint of your face in their mind already. So even if you do look washed out in the fluorescent light, wherever that may be, then it won't really matter because they know what you look like.
Music or no music?
No music.
No music.
Yeah, me too.
Which is funny because sometimes I think about it and I'm like, should I try that? And then I think,
I'm really not interested in it. Yeah. I feel like I would get really distracted.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Is that because we're musicians?
I think so. Because I've talked to other musicians about it, actually, and they're like, yeah, I would get really distracted because I'd be really interested in the music instead of the sex.
Or even, not even that. It's like there's a rhythm, there's a pulse, and how long is this track? Oh, now the rhythm has changed. Oh, the CD has ended. This is quite awkward.
I should get up and change it. Yeah.
Hold on 1 second, please, while I fix the music. Oh, no.
Yeah, the only time I can see having sex with music is if it was, like, really epic. Like Lord of the Rings or like Samson and Delilah epic.
Oh, well, I have those. You can absolutely borrow those CDs. Of I'll make you a mixtape of the Lord of the Rings.
I like
Opera
that.
Overture compilation for sex.
Have you talked to people who are not musicians about music during sex?
No.
I feel like I've talked to like one person. They were like, yeah, it's okay. But I mean, I feel like some people are really into it, but I haven't met anybody.
Yeah, me neither.
Yeah.
But I guess it's not something I ask a whole lot.
This is not the question I ask people when I meet them on the street, but maybe maybe tomorrow.
Do people just disregard the rhythm of the music or do they go with it? But I feel like, I don't know, that's just totally mind-blowing to me. I just don't think I could do it.
I feel like it would just kind of wash out the sounds that are happening.
Oh, maybe that's the purpose. I mean, I don't know. Maybe there are some awkward ones that they'd
maybe
like
you have
to
roommates.
Not. Oh my God, his loud music makes so much more sense.
Oh my God, Sonia.
But see, that's the thing, is that then it could just be you have another signal to your roommate that like, hey.
I mean, that's kind of
what's up.
How I think about it objectively. I guess that's so funny that I didn't like put those together. But I mean, music definitely is like a noise drowning out thing.
As is the shower.
The shower?
What?
Turn on the shower.
Get in the shower?
No. Turn on the shower. The sex noises, you can't hear them anymore.
Wouldn't you just get in the shower then?
I mean, yeah, that's good too, but just saying.
It's slippery in there.
You know,
get a rubber mat
to deal with, and we can get into the logistics of shower sex later. I'm just saying, you want a noise cancellation? The easiest one, I think, is probably turn on the shower.
Then you're wasting all that water.
It's wasteful of the water. So maybe get like a
I would just get like
a white noise machine that makes a shower noise. Mm.
This is elaborate.
The right.
Fans.
That brainwave. Yeah.
I do like the sound of the shower, though.
Yeah.
I find it very soothing.
I like the sound of rain.
Yeah.
Like, I have a white noise thing that's just, like, super loud rain. Or thunderstorms.
Thunderstorms are the best.
Yeah.
There's nothing, like, sexier noise-wise than a thunderstorm.
Totally,
So, like, you just kind of want to just sit in bed and listen to the thunderstorm.
Thanks for coming on the Sex and Tell show, Kate.
Thanks for having me.
And we're out.